Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast.
His destiny was just too big to spend, so he broke it into smaller bills and change. By the time he tried to buy the things he needed, he had spent it all on Lucy's and weed. He had spent it all on chips and Coca-Cola. He had spent it all on chocolate and vanilla. He had spent it all and didn't even feel it. He had spent it all and didn't even feel it.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. For the past 15 years, Regina Spektor has been amazing and amusing us with her songs, with her quirky storytelling, intricate wordplay, and classically influenced piano playing. Her songs have successfully avoided being pegged as one genre or another. You may know her theme song for the hit TV series Orange is the New Black, or you may know her from her past appearances on Soundcheck going all the way back to 2004. Well, Regina Spektor's back with us today, and she's going to play some songs from her new album called Remember Us to Life. This first one is Grand Hotel. Here's Regina Spektor, live on Soundcheck.
Somewhere below the Grand Hotel, there is a tunnel that leads down to hell. Take the dumb waiter, the laundry chute, then sneak through the hall past the boy's shining boots, then left at the courtyard through the old garden where all the bellhops smoke with the guards. And then you run to the old lake house, down to the old lake house, run to the old lake house where it begins. Under the floorboards, there's a deep well that leads to a spring that sprung up in hell. That's where old devils danced and kissed and made their blood pacts in the ancient mists. And running through forests, they screamed in chorus while piercing fair maidens' chests with their horns. And then they lay in the grass till the dawn came, sleeping away till the dawn came. Lay in the grass where now stands the Grand Hotel. The maitre d' and a fancy chef, silver's real, liquor's top shelf. Play some tennis, swim in a pool, stroll the gardens shady and cool. You won't care that the devils won't mind, that the devils won't know that the devils are near. Somewhere below the Grand Hotel, there is a tunnel that leads straight to hell. But no one comes up for the souls anymore. They come for some comfort and for the dance floor. And hiding sharp horns under fedoras, do not disturb signs instead of a chorus. They toss and turn till the dawn comes, on soft sheets till the dawn comes. No one sleeps at the Grand Hotel. Room service, mini bar, scented soaps, chauffeured cars. Stay a day, stay a week, here's the tunnel, take a peek. Just call up your friends at the front desk, any hour at the front desk. Call up your friends at the Grand Hotel. You'll always have friends at the Grand.
That is Regina Spektor, live here in the Soundcheck studio with her song Grand Hotel. There is a grand version of that with Ensemble on her new album called Remember Us to Life. Regina, first of all, it's great to see you again.
So great to see you, John.
And I'm so glad you chose that song to start with, because for me, it's kind of like the, in some respects, a quintessential Regina Spektor song. It's like,
whatever all right, that is.
Whatever that is. But I mean, you set up the premise. It's a hotel linked directly to hell and is full of devils and demons. And it's like, man, if I could be at that place, I would be there in a heartbeat. It sounds amazing.
That's awesome.
So Grand Hotel is the name of the song. The album is Remember Us to Life. Isn't that a saying? Isn't that a Jewish, you know, an old Jewish saying? Like, L'chaim is to life?
Yeah, well, maybe it is a saying. I definitely, must have read it probably hundreds of times growing up, but I really kind of only noticed it in this new way about 3 years ago when I was at Yom Kippur with my family, and I was pregnant, and I was reading from the texts, and it just seemed to be such a beautiful phrase, and I kind of read it in this new way, and it summed up all this feeling and all this hope that you sort of feel when there's a new life coming and when you're sort of trying to start some kind of a new moment. It, you know, people always talk about all the awe and the life-changing kind of like heart-expanding love that you feel, and like, but you also feel all this anxiety
yep.
and worry, and then you just have this person that's like so helpless and so beautiful, and you just want the whole world to just instantly get fixed and for everything to always be okay forever and ever.
Yeah. Whereas before that, you didn't care if the world went to hell in a handbasket.
I cared a little bit.
Now, it's funny that you mentioned, you know, reading that phrase in a new way while pregnant, because one of the things I wanted to ask you was writing songs post, you know, becoming a mom.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice, was there a difference in either kind of tone or tenor or, you know, in the direction that some of the songs were going?
You know, I definitely wrote a lot more having had the baby, because I'm not the most organized of people, and I think when you're a musician, you can sometimes get away with it more than other people. And so a lot of the time leading up to it, I feel like I let slip through my fingers and kind of just sneak away in this disorganized, procrastinating kind of way. And then after I had the baby, I was the most sleep deprived I've ever been. I was the most kind of like emotional and overwhelmed. I was the most awestruck and had the least amount of time to myself. And somehow it forced me to be really organized with my time and to really basically do the opposite and not take any of it for granted. And I went from, you know, because I don't work in an office or on any kind mm-hmm. of a real schedule, but all of a sudden I was on this little person's schedule, and I knew that, you know, I am their battery. I have to keep going
right.
constantly. And so if I had 30 minutes, I really used that 30 minutes. And if I had 15 minutes, I would really use that 15 minutes. And because I showed up so hardcore for those little tiny bits, I actually ended up doing, like, writing more songs and doing more work than I had in years. And then I realized what a slacker I had been.
Now, see, most new parents, when they say, I have 30 minutes, it's like...
Well, I did a lot of that, too.
So, you know, one thing that hasn't changed is the kind of elusive nature of these songs. You know, they inhabit this kind of area between art song mm-hmm. and pop song.
Right.
And one of the things, one of the ways that that happens is in the instrumentation. So you have a band on the record, but you also have what sounds like a chamber music ensemble.
Most of the time, the way that these songs get produced is they're all written on piano. So it starts out with piano and voice for the most part. And then we arrange them and kind of give them whatever it is that they're asking for. And especially with this record, I heard a lot of strings and different ways of recording strings and different sort of string arrangements, really ranging from there's a full orchestral arrangement, and then there's, you know, things that are really sparse, like maybe a trio or a quartet, or then there's like layered violins or synth strings mixed with real strings, and just a lot of different ways of approaching a string recording and piano recording. And but it's never like, oh, you know, because I don't have because I'm not a band, I sort of am. I mean, I have a band and they're wonderful. I have a wonderful mm-hmm. band of musicians that are on tour with me. And then for the New York shows and a few other shows, we're even having some additional strings, which is such a luxury and beautiful.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I'm just a solo person writing these songs. So I always just kind of start from there And then, you know, if the song needs brass, I don't have to, because I'm not a band, I don't have to be like, well, what is my guitarist going to play? What is my bassist going to play? I just, if the song is just bass and nothing else, then okay.
That's what it is. Yeah. Well, we heard a little bit of Small Bills at the top of the segment, mm-hmm. and that song, I mean, there's, you know, a kind of galumphin piano and yeah. stuff, but it's also got a little, maybe more than a little hip-hop in yeah. its DNA.
Definitely. I mean, I love hip-hop, and I think that, you know, throughout the years, even starting on before I was signed on Songs Record, that I just recorded at my friend's studio in probably, what was it, like 2001 or 2002, yeah. I've always had like some songs. They're never, I call them non-real hip-hop, but it's like they're just my love of hip-hop just kind of processed through my own self. Same as, you know, I have my own vision of the 80s, and it's things that I think are the 80s, but they're not real 80s. They're just the 80s of my imagination. So I think that I definitely try and you know, if the song seems to have it, like you said, in its DNA, then I just sort of try and give it to it. But also at the same time, while experimenting and not just kind of, I don't really like pastiche, or I respect hip hop too much to just try and sort of, you know, do a knockoff. I just want to do something.
Or something.
Exactly. Yeah. I just want to do something that's inspired by it, but still is me.
Better get a head start, start running. While you were skimming from the top was sunny, but all the weather about to turn real crummy. Cause everybody gonna want their money. Yeah, everybody gonna want their money. Better get a head start, start running. Better get a head start, start running. Cause it's about to get so unfunny. All the poets in the alley coughing up blood, and their visions and their dreams are coming up red. They can either wake up or go deeper, but it's so dangerous to wake a deep sleeper.
Well, that job well done. we're speaking with Regina Spektor. She mentioned her band and the New York shows. So you're playing Town Hall October 17th.
Yeah.
And then somehow you and that enlarged band will squeeze into Rough Trade the next night, October 18th in Brooklyn.
Yeah. And we're
good
gonna
luck
have
with that.
Yeah, we're going to have a little red Steinway for that one. So it's going to be smaller and more compact, but we're going to fit.
And then a full spring tour
yeah,
coming up next
yeah.
year.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. But right now, Regina's here with us in the studio. What do you want to play next?
Maybe Older and Taller.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, I'm going
right.
to try.
Back to the piano goes Regina Spektor. The album is called Remember Us to Life. And Regina giving us some solo versions of a couple of the songs from this really terrific new record from her. It's Older and Taller. Regina Spektor, live on Soundcheck.
Enjoy your youth. sounds like a threat. Enjoy your youth, sounds like a threat, but I will anyway. I remembered you older and taller, but you're younger and smaller, so who's gonna call her and say that you're here at last? And all the days, they were longer, and the drinks, they were stronger, the words we sang wrong, but the songs were remembered, and time just passed. You're around till you're not around, and that's all you'll need to know. Every time you decide to stay, then the world will make you go. And that's all you need to know. Enjoy your youth, sounds like a threat. Enjoy your youth, sounds like a threat. But
sitting at our Steinway piano is Regina Spektor, singing and playing her song called Older and Taller, and that again from the new album called Remember Us to Life. First album, Regina, in what, four years?
Yeah, 4 years.
When you did the last record, What We Saw from the Cheap Seats, you toured through Russia after that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was that the first time you've been back?
Yeah, since I was 9.
Wow.
It was really mind-blowing.
So what was your, I'll say reactions plural, because I guess there were probably several.
Yeah, well, it was so multi-layered. First of all, it was incredible because I was touring and it was just regular summer tours with festivals and all these different fun countries, and then all of a sudden I like fell into this vortex of time and space, and my mom was there and my husband was there, and he's also from Russia, and we were all just in this kind of alternate parallel universe, and I got to see all these people I hadn't seen since my childhood. I got to see my first piano teacher.
Wow.
I got to meet Russian fans, which was just kind of, I had no idea if anybody there listened to my music or anything like that. I got to see St. Petersburg for the first time because I was too little to have seen it. And it's just the most incredibly beautiful city. And it was just emotional and beautiful. I went to my childhood home. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just kind of this 1 week in the middle of a tour that would have been kind of like real life. And it was just, you know, that 1 week felt like a year probably.
Yeah. Wow. I'm so glad you had that before you had your son, because,
yeah,
you know, that kind of reconnecting with your own roots before you start kind of planting new roots here.
Wow. I never even thought, you know, it's so interesting you say that. I never really thought of it like that, but I guess it's kind of amazing that that happened right then.
Yeah.
It is. I didn't even realize that.
Well, you know, it sounds like it was a pretty intense experience. And the idea of, like, just, you know, being in the middle of a tour and suddenly having a different kind of reality intrude on, because touring is its own little bubble, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It's, I mean, for me, I don't know what it's like for other people, but for me, it's just the most incredible happiness, I think, ever. Because even now, you know, the last record came out 4 years ago, and then the last touring that I'd done finished 3 years ago. So I really hadn't played any of my own full shows, and I just played 2 shows for the first time in 3 years in LA at the LRA. And I just had to hold it together and not cry because the crowd was so beautiful and they like sang so gently with me and they were so loving that, you know, I feel like I almost forgot how amazing that energy and that love of kind of making art together with a crowd is. It's so special.
Yeah.
I'm really lucky.
Did they make dolphin noises or was that not called for?
You know, this time it wasn't called for. But on the first night, I closed the shows very often with Samson.
Oh, I cut his hair myself one night. A pair of doll scissors in the yellow light. And he told me that I'd done all right. And kissed me till the morning light, the morning light. And he kissed me till the morning light.
And I somehow, I guess maybe because I was playing so many new songs and old songs and I had just so many things to remember, somehow I looked down at my hands in the middle of Samson and I just didn't know what the piano was or how to play it anymore. It just went blank. Mm. And then someone yelled out, "Do it a cappella." And and so then I just led this crowd in a sing-along and it was so sweet and yeah, I really love playing shows.
Wow, that's amazing. That's got to be an amazing experience.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, of course, will know the theme song you did for Orange is the New Black.
Animals, the animals, trap, 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 till the cages fall. The cages fall, the day's new.
And then you did this wonderful cover of While My Guitar Gently Weeps for the recent animated film Kubo and the Two Strings.
Oh, and it's such a beautiful film, and I love that Beatles song and that George, you know, George singing. I thought, what do they need me to do it? George did such an awesome job.
I look at you all, see the love there that's sleeping while my guitar gently.
But you with the traditional Japanese string instruments? That was
The shamisen. And you know what's really crazy? I heard that demo because the composer that did it, Dario Marianelli, he did that arrangement and they recorded it at Abbey Road. When I saw the visuals of how the shamisen is played, I couldn't believe the virtuosity of that player because it's not like he's playing with even a little pick.
Right.
It's like a giant shovel, and I don't understand how he's moving it so fast.
Yeah.
He must have, like, the strongest hands in the world. It's crazy.
The shamisen, it looks a little bit like a thin, long banjo.
Yeah.
And yes, it is played with an enormous plectrum, you know.
Oh, yeah, plectrum is the word,
yeah,
of course.
Well, don't worry about it. Pick is fine. So you have been, you know, knocking off these sort of one-off projects here and there, but of course, we're all very glad to have a new record from you.
Oh, I am too. I'm so glad.
The album's called Remember Us to Life. Regina Spektor's here solo, and will be playing with her band on October 17th at Town Hall, and then the next night, October 18th, in Brooklyn at Rough Trade. There are some songs that are more kind of impressionistic than others, and then there are songs that are kind of narrative. Mm. And this next song seems to be skewing towards the narrative end.
Yeah.
You want to play the Trapper and the Farrier for us?
Yeah, sure.
It's Regina Spektor making her way back to our Steinway piano here in the Soundcheck studio. And this, too, is from the new album, The Trapper and the Farrier, live on Soundcheck.
The trapper and the furrier went walking through paradise, and all the animals lay clawless and toothless before them, and all the mothers stepped away from their babies, leaving them open and easy to handle. The trapper and the furrier went walking through paradise. They took some for now and they got some for later. And they marveled at the pelts, not a bullet hole in them. And they filled up the cages with pets for their children.
but a strange, strange world we live in, where the good are damned and the wicked forgiven. But a strange, strange world we live in. Those who don't have lose, those who got get given. More, 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 more. You're the owner and the manager when walking through paradise, and all their shelves were filled with awards and achievements, and on every corner a power presentation, and on every floor an army of workers. The owner and the manager went walking through paradise, and all their charts showed so much promise and progress. No sick days, no snow days, no unions, no taxes. And they wandered towards home, kings of their castles. What a strange, strange world we live in, where the good are damned and the wicked forgiven. What a strange, strange world we live in. Those who don't have lose, those who got get given. More, more, more. Pharmacist when walking through paradise, and all the sick were around him with fevers unbreaking, crying and coughing and bleeding and shaking, and arms outstretched, prescription collecting. Lawyer and a pharmacist when walking through paradise. Press suits in a courtroom, aroma of chloroform. And he smiled at the judge, disposition so sunny. 'Cause they didn't have the cure, but sure needed the money. What a strange, strange world we live in, where the good are damned and the wicked forgiven. What a strange, strange world we live in. Those who don't have lose, those who got get given. More, 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 more. More, 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 more. More, 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 more. More, 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 more. More, 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 more!
Regina Spektor, and a dark and bitter moment from her album called Remember Us to Life. The song is The Trapper and the Furrier. And that really is it starts dark and it just kind of stays there. It's a very dramatic piece of music. Did it come out that way, or, you know, is this one of those things that just comes rushing out when you, like, see the evening news?
Yeah, kind of, you know. And that's not typical for me, because I think most of the time things just sort of are, I guess they're just much more mixed up inside my system. But every once in a while, I think I just get so angry and upset that it somehow just comes out in such a direct way, because I really, I'm out of patience with all of it. And I just, you know, I think especially as an immigrant, as a refugee, you know, I came to America with refugee status, and, you know, we had to have a lot of kind of government help when we got here. We were on food stamps. We were really on welfare, and I saw my parents struggle, and I saw so many other families struggle, and it just makes me so angry to have immigrants painted as these lazy, trying to take everything from the system. Immigrants make this country run. They always have. They put their children first. They love this country, and they're just trying to have a better life and a better world. And it's just so important to have all this racism and all this misogyny and all this, xenophobia and all of this stuff just slither back away into the dark place from which it came. And it, I think it's really damaging for children to see these big cats on the TV saying all these horrible, horrible things, and to look themselves, I don't know how they look themselves in the mirror, and I don't know how they look at their families and their friends, and at the same time they're able to say these disgusting things out loud. They can't possibly think that they're bringing anything good into the world.
I think, and this is the difference perhaps between an optimist and a pessimist. An optimist wants to bring good into the world, whereas a pessimist just wants to keep the bad out. And that's
right.
That seems to be, there's like an inherent pessimism to that point of view.
I think that my default setting, my natural, if everything's okay setting, is as an optimist. But I think sometimes the world knocks me back to just at least bearing with it.
Well, even in Older and Taller, there's that great line, "You're alone till you're not alone. That's all you need to know." But then later in the song, it's like, you're here until you're not here. So reality does have a way of kind of intruding.
Yeah, but I find that sometimes there is something almost positive about kind of accepting the transience of it all too. Mm-hmm. That it's not just, it's not just sad that people die and that everything changes all the time. It's also beautiful because that's how this place is kind of made. It's how it runs. And I think that as long as you're trying to put in more good than damage, while you do have the chance to connect, to protect, to help, then do that, because the time is so fleeting. It's just, I'm so hopeful for this election. I'm just hoping that the country will kind of show what it truly believes and kind of be the optimist but definitely just keep out the bad stuff.
All right. Well, there's a mix of optimism and pessimism for you, which not inappropriate for an artist who mixes so many different things in her music. The album's called Remember Us to Life. Regina Spektor, always a pleasure to have you with us, and congratulations.
Thank you so much, John.
What you got on tap? I'll take two of that. I'm chasing a story I heard. When I was here last at the back of the class, you pretended you never got lost. Yeah, at the back of the class, in the back of the bus, sitting out at the dance, always saying no thanks.
That'll do it for this edition of the Soundcheck podcast. But as always, there's much more to be found on our website. Lots of other live performances, videos shot in the studio, our daily gig alerts, our weekly music roundups, and more. Check it out at soundcheck.org. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.
You can't help but stare at everyone there. It's you versus everyone else. Your outfit's a crime. You feel their cold minds placing you under arrest. And you serve your time drinking all night long, staring at the walls of your jail-like home, listening to that song, 'cause it hurts just right to learn.